Take your Bibles right now, please, and turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 103. Psalm 119. Wow. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 103. When you find it, if you're with me, if you haven't, let's read it together in unison together. Verse 103, Psalm 119, together. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Notice the word, my taste. My taste. I'm going to talk about taste buds today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the young people. The boys and girls, some of them left, went to their own time. Bless them, Lord. Speak to them. Now for everyone in this auditorium, Lord, for those that know you, may they love you more. I pray, Lord, you'll encourage your saints, strengthen. I pray if there's one here that knows you not as Savior, this may be the hour in which they trust you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Did you notice that word? My taste. Y'all like to eat? I've had that. That is one of my hobbies since I was very young. A taste. You know, the Bible's got a lot to say about taste. And Proverbs is a very familiar passage. Most all of you know Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. Doesn't say train down. That's the world. The world will do that. But we're, as Christians, we're to train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the emphasis here in the Old Testament was that the mothers, before a child would take solid food, mother chew up a little food or take a little food that was mashed up and want that baby to have more than milk when they were ready, then would take a little mashed up food, put it on her mouth and finger and go in the child's mouth, and if you reach far enough back, all of a sudden there's a reflex reaction, and the idea was that as Christians, as believers, as people of God, we are to have our taste buds touched for the things of God. And we are, as parents, grandparents, and others, in fact, influenced with others, we're to give a taste for the things of God, not the things of this world. Now, you know, people try to figure out where I'm from by my accent. And that's pretty tough because I've been around a lot of different people. And if you love people, you pick up kind of what they, how they talk and where they are, you know. And so when I'm in certain parts of the East, they park their car in their garage. I said, a what? They said, garage. I call it a garage, but they call it a garage, you know. And different places. And then sometimes, you know, I preach in all black churches where I'm the only white face. I traveled, had a black evangelist with me as one of my speakers. He tried to get me to sing black. He said, Brother Rice, you got to moan and groan. Yeah. I said, I can't even sing white, let alone sing black. But hey, if you're with people, and then I've been in so many Spanish-speaking countries, and I try to learn, you know, I know a lot of Spanish, Taco Bell. And I know, but I do know. Prometo lealtad a la bandera de los Estados Unidos de América y la República que la representa. But that's a U.S. Pledge of Allegiance, and it doesn't work in Mexico or Puerto Rico or anywhere else. And then I go to Spain, and it's a different Spanish. It's called Castilian Spanish. So everywhere I go, I have to have a translator. But, you know, people say, well, where are you from, Brother Rice? I say, Nebraska. Cornhusker. Say, Brother Rice, you grew up in Nebraska? Oh, yeah, yeah. Outside Omaha. It's all a city now, but we had 40 acres of corn, 40 acres of alfalfa, 40 acres of Timothy hay, and 40 acres of white pigs called Yorkshire pigs. Yeah, did that. And you say, well, where'd you go to school? Tore my school down. Never asked, never put a monument or anything. I think it's around 90-something, 98. I don't know. There's a clover leaf on the interstate. They tore down my school. You know, I was the smartest kid in the whole sixth grade. I was the only one in the sixth grade. I was the only one in the seventh grade. One teacher taught kindergarten through eighth grade. She had a master's degree in education. She wanted to touch some students very deeply and change their lives forever. So she left the Omaha school system and went out where she could make a difference. Boy, it was individualized. And that's the kind of school you have, where you can take a child from where they are and minister to them. She told me, she said, "Ralph, you know, I was left-handed and dragged my hand across what I wrote, and you couldn't even read what I wrote." And she said, "You're going to win penmanship at the Douglas County Fair." And I would have laughed. Ha, ha, ha. But, it was easier to just win rather than have her unhappy with me. And so I won 3 years. And listen, I want to tell you, I went to that old country school. You say, "Well, what happened in high school?" I got a Greyhound ticket. Greyhound bus, yeah. Got a Greyhound bus and had to ride a Greyhound bus into Omaha and downtown. Then I got a bus out to Benson, went to Benson High School. And then you say, "How'd you get home?" "Well, I had a ticket on the Greyhound bus." "What did your ticket say?" "It said Mooncakes Corners, Nebraska." You say, "What do you mean, Mooncakes Corners?" "Well, the boys from Boys Town met the girls from..." Anyway, it was called Mooncakes Corners. They had a restaurant there, and that's where I went. And you say, "You're from Nebraska?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "What do people eat? What do they have a taste for?" "In Nebraska," I said, "well, corn husker." I said, they said, "What are you going to eat?" I said, "Well, you know, Sunday dinner." I do love Sunday dinner. Y'all love Sunday dinner. I said, "Well, for Sunday dinner," I said, "we're going to have roast beef. You're going to have mashed potatoes and gravy. And we're going to have corn. If it's in season, we're going to have corn on the cob." Yeah. And they said, "Well, that's okay. What are you going to have next Sunday?" "Oh, next Sunday? I can tell you. Roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn on the cob." And you say, "What about the next?" "Roast beef, mashed potatoes, great." You say, "Well, but I'm from Nebraska and I don't like that stuff." "No, you probably just got in. You're a foreigner. You probably came from Mississippi or Louisiana or somewhere like that. And you guarantee that. And you talk like they down there in that Cajun country. That was you. But hey, if you're from Nebraska, listen, if you don't like roast beef, mashed potatoes, gravy, then you know what? You need to see the doctor. You need to go to the hospital. Something's wrong with you." Listen, it's natural and normal for somebody in the Midwest, Iowa people too, like meat, potatoes. Hey, come on. And corn and cup. You know, and you know what? The Bible's telling us that if we're a healthy Christian, we ought to have a love for the things that God loves. You say, "Well, how am I spiritually? What kind of health have I got?" You can check up on yourself by what you love, what you have a taste for. Now, I went south. I was preaching down in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And some of the people down there in Alabama, they say, and Georgia and South Carolina say, "Good morning, Brother Rice. How you doing, Brother Rice?" You know, and Southern. And so I was down there preaching, and Sunday dinner, they had something that was so wonderful. I said, "I need the recipe." And a lady said, "What do you mean you need the recipe?" I said, "I want to take back to my wife the recipe so she can make this." And they said, well, "Don't you eat biscuits?" And they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Nebraska." They said, "What are you eating about?" "Roast beef, mashed potatoes, gravy, corn on the cob." And he said, but bread." I said, "We have sliced bread, or we might have a roll, have a dinner roll." They said, "But don't you have biscuits?" I said, "Not like this." I said, "The only kind of biscuits we got, you go whoop, you bust that can open, they pop out of there, that's it. And have any like this." They said, "Well, Brother Rice, you don't need a special recipe, but you do need a different flour." I said, "Really?" They said, "Yeah." They said, "You just tell your wife to buy some Safrazin brand flour." So I go back. I said, "Honey, you got to go to the store and go to Safeway." And so she went to Safeway. She went to Kroger. She went to different places and buy low. And I said, "Hey," I said, she said, "You can't buy it. They don't have Safrazin brand flour here. They got Pillsbury and they got Gold Medal and Kroger brand, but they don't have surprise." So I called back South Carolina. I said, "Listen, I'm not asking for a gift. I'll reimburse you. I'll pay the postage, everything, but would you please buy some of that surprise and brand flour and send it to us?" They said, "Brother Rice, you hadn't been south long, had you?" I said, "No." They said, "It's not a brand. It's self-rising. S-E-L-F-R-I-S-I. Wow, we found it, and my wife knows, woo, how to make biscuits now." Yeah. Now listen, if you're from South Carolina, or you down in the South, in Tennessee and Virginia and the Carolinas, you're going to love biscuits. That's just as natural as anything. And I want to tell you something else. Christians, healthy Christians, just as natural as it is for Southern people to love biscuits, Nebraska people love roast beef and mashed potatoes and gravy. It's so it is that it should be the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 6 says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, morning, noon, and night, anywhere you go, everything you do." God's Word! Listen, as natural as it is for somebody from the South to like biscuits, it should be that natural for us as Christians to love the Word of God. You know, it amazes me. People spend a whole bunch of money for some clothes or maybe an iPhone or an iPad or they buy all kinds of stuff and never blink over the money. But they talk, you know, a Bible going to cost $40 for a Bible? I mean, $60 for a Bible? I can go down to Dollar Tree and get one for a buck. I want to tell you this. We don't worship this book. This is the inspired, inerrant Word of the living God. We worship the God of the book. But I want to tell you, if this is His Word, it ought to be precious to us. And you know, people say, "Well, I got two Bibles." Some of you here got two or three. Say, "Yeah, I got a New Testament too." It's not how many you got. Do you ever open them? "Hey, where's my Bible? I had it last Sunday. Where are you? Anybody seen my Bible?" "Oh, Coke got spilled on it. Well, I think I left it on the car and drove off." And listen, I want to tell you, this is God's Word. It's God's Word. We ought to love God's Word, precious, as much as people in the South like biscuits, and people in Nebraska roast beef and Iowa. A roast beef, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and corn on the cob, right? A healthy Christian's going to love the things of God. Wonder if any of you really went north. Anybody here in this room this morning ever been to Alaska? North, I see two hands. North to Alaska, I remember the first time I went. Of course, our house, we're never there. We get back about a month and a half in the summer, and from Thanksgiving to Christmas, we're back in Texas. And over the fireplace is it was a world record, not anymore, but it was a world record moose. And there's the rack, weighed over 100 pounds, just a bone, 68 inches from tip to tip. It was 7 foot plus, about as tall as you, preacher. And at the shoulder, you got to look along with that moose, and it weighed over 2,000 pounds. And I helped to start over 70 schools in Alaska. And they spread word around that I like stuff. And before I knew it, one of the teacher's husbands shot that. You don't give away a once-in-a-lifetime record, but he did. And they presented it with a plaque to me from the schools of Alaska. So, but the first time I went to Alaska, I remember that they gave me a can, and it looked like Army surplus or something. You know, they have a label, just a can. And they said, "This is smoked salmon." I said, "Huh?" They said, "Well, Brother Rice," they said, "we catch the salmon, we smoke the salmon out back, and that's one of the major things that we eat." And he said, "Don't you eat salmon?" I said, "Smoked salmon? No, I never even heard of it. I never had that." "Well, have you never had salmon?" I said, "Well, my mom, you know, she got cans of pink salmon, and they had bones, you could eat them." Yeah, they were round, you could eat them, and, you know. I said, "Where'd you grow up?" I said, "Nebraska." "Well, they had roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, and pink salmon in a can." They said, "Everybody in Alaska, this is a huge part of our..." You say, "Well, I'm from Alaska, and I don't eat smoked salmon." You know what? You probably just got here. You know what they talk about, people? When they leave Alaska, they talk about going outside. They talk about going to the banana belt, see. And but I'm going to tell you, I was given one of those. So I took it, and here's this can. And so I get back to the room at this hotel where I'm staying. I hadn't got any vehicle, and people picking me up and stuff. And so I'm at this hotel, and everything costs more in Alaska. A fortune. In the restaurant, there, and there's nothing else around except in the hotel. And I look at the prices, you know, I got that kind of money. So what am I going to do? I'm hungry. Salmon, I got that can of salmon. He said, now don't eat too much if you're not used to it. I forgot that. So I take my can. How am I going to get this open? It doesn't have a little deal on it. This has got to have a can opener. So I take it down to the hotel desk. I said, sir, he said, can I help you? I says, hope so. He says, what you need? I said, this open. He says, we ain't got a can open. I said, well, I wouldn't expect you to have one here at the desk, but back in the kitchen, you're bound to have a couple. Yeah. And I said, all I need is you just, you know, open it for me. That's all I need. He says, hey, we don't open cans. I said, well, I know you're not. Well, anyway, I just kept until he got tired of me, I think. All right. And so he goes back and opens it. Yeah. So I go back to my room. I take a little. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was good. I ate another bite and another bite. I ate the whole thing. It blessed me all night. The next day, I'm telling you, boy, I fell in love with smoked salmon. I want to tell you, there are friends of mine from Alaska and also from BC, British Columbia, Canada, and even from the West Coast that remember me with smoked salmon. Listen, if you're from Alaska, you know all about smoked salmon. You got a taste for it. Listen, we as believers, if we're healthy, it should be as normal for us to love the Word of God and the house of God. Got to go to church? We don't got to. We get to. Yeah. You know what? Your Bible's pretty clear about this. We read it, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Listen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Church, you say, got to go, you get to go. Hey, I want to tell you, church is a no-brainer. Doors open, you go. You say, well, you know, it hasn't rained for a long time. And you know, it's so dry. Well, you know, it's raining. And I could, you know, I have a cold. I wouldn't want to give anybody a germ, so I won't go. Well, you know, I don't have any cold, but I could catch one because somebody in church might have a germ. You know, a lot of people you're going to get. And it's amazing how people will do what they want to do. What they want to do. They go up to a ball game and risk life and limb to go to a ball game or to go to something they want to go to. But the house of God, you say, well, we're going to have friends and relatives are coming, and people are coming to our house. Oh, well, invite them. They ain't going to come to church, I'll tell you that. They don't go to church. We ain't going down to that church. We'd love to have you. You'd be welcome. We have visitors to our church. Yeah, we ain't going. All right, we'll be back at some certain time, and then we'll eat. Hey, church isn't automatic if you love God. You see, we're to have a love for the things God loves. The Word of God is special because it's His Word. The house of God, to get to be with the family and to be in the house of God. It should be as normal and natural as having Nebraska people liking roast beef, mashed potatoes, grape corn. Or somebody from the South having biscuits. Or somebody from Alaska having smoked salmon. Now, I don't know if any of you have traveled the South Pacific. Some of you have maybe been in the military or you've been mission trips or things. Anybody here ever been to Australia? I see a hand, two hands there, three. Okay. I've been all over Australia, from the middle, which is desert, around the outsides where all the cities are. And it, boy, never had a national revival in their history. And I tell you what, a lot of issues with Australia. But nearby is what I like. It's a country with two little islands. It's called New Zealand. Most beautiful place on earth to me. It's got all the beauty of Hawaii, Fiji, Tahiti. It's got all the beauty of the Yellowstone. It's got geysers. You're never over 30 miles from the ocean. Just two little islands. There's more sheep than people. And it's got over 200 permanently glaciated mountain peaks. You can land planes right on the ice, on the glaciers. It's got it. Oh, it's beautiful. And the people are called Kiwis. Now, kiwi fruit, originally from there, but you can get it raised in California somewhere now. But they're called Kiwis. And I remember, honey, the first time I was in New Zealand. And I've been back, I don't know, 20 times. But the first time I was there, I stayed in these people's homes. And they said, Brother Rice, you have a flannel. And I'm thinking, Nebraska, cold winter. Flannel's a heavy shirt, you know, or heavy pajamas or something like that. And the flannel to them is a washcloth. They said, you got sand shoes, that's tennis shoes. You got a torch. I'm thinking of, we're going to have a backyard barbecue or something, torch light, or maybe a blowtorch, you know. And that's a flashlight. Yeah. Well, in the morning, we got up and we're going to eat. We're going to eat breakfast. They said, how would you like your tea? I said, well, you know, however. They said, well, how do you usually have your tea? I said, I don't. They said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Nebraska. Well, what do people drink there? I said, well, you know, we drink milk and orange juice, you know, and sometimes coffee, you know. And they said, don't you ever drink tea? I said, well, we've been based out of Texas, and it gets up to 105, 110 degrees, pretty hot sometimes in the summertime, and what people a lot of times like is a big, tall glass of iced tea. They said, but doesn't anybody in Nebraska or Texas drink hot tea? I said, not the people I know don't. I said, actually, I think there's some little old ladies that get together for a little chit-chat. They got these little sandwiches it takes 10 to have a bite. And they got the little teacups. You know, I may be that. They said, but no men drink hot tea. I said, not the men I know don't. So I had a cup. They said, you want it white? I figure if I'm having it, yeah, put it in. You want sugar? Put it in, man. So I had my first cup of hot tea. Now, I go down to the school. Like, you got a school here? I go down to the school. Everything in New Zealand stops about 10 o'clock in the morning. And they said, it's time for a cuppa. A what? I found out. Cup of tea is what they're talking about. Everything stops. We're going to have a break. He said, how would you like it? I said, white, sugar. And then I said, two biscuits. Now, their biscuits are, if you buy in the store, you see something imported from England, you find somewhere from overseas, often it will say biscuit, but it's a cookie. And so I said, and two biscuits, you know. And I had my second cup of hot tea. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to another school in the afternoon. And the principal says, Brother Rice, you could get lost getting from here to there. I said, well, I need help. Give me a good map. No, I'll get you on the right path, and we'll stop for a bite. I said, okay, that's good. So it's lunch. We pull, oh, no, the sign says tea rooms. And sandwiches, you buy a sandwich, it's stacked up, already made, about a loaf or two high, and you just peel off however much of the sandwiches you want. You know? Boy, and I had another cup of hot tea. Okay, I get the second school. Guess what happens 2:30 in the afternoon in New Zealand? It's time for a cup. Oh, no. Breakfast, 10 o'clock, lunch. This is number four. White, sugar, two biscuits. Okay, that principal says you're coming over to our house tonight to eat. Now, you know what they call the evening meal? He said, you're coming over to our house for tea. Ah! That's what they call supper. Now, I had a rack of lamb with mint sauce. It was good. Called Hobbit. Very, very good. But I had another. Hey, how long was I there that trip? 2 weeks? I was in Wakarira-rira. I was in Pukaki and Tekapu and Rupehu and Arapuhui and Kerikeri and Christchurch and Auckland and Darmaville and points east, north, south, west, and everywhere I went. In your room, in the hotel room, there's a hot jug to make your tea. And everybody said, this is the best, this is the best. You got to take this to your wife. When my wife opened my suitcase, boing, all these bags, tea bags popped out from New Zealand. Listen, if you're from New Zealand, it's natural for you to love hot tea. And it's natural for a Christian who's healthy and loves God to love the thing, to love the Word of God and the house of God and the instruction that is in line with God's will. Now, the Bible's real clear when it says, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple. That means ignorant or dumb concerning evil. There's a lot of stuff you say, well, to be educated, you need to know about. No. We need to know all about what God wants us to know about. Boy, there's whole channels dedicated to religion. that are teaching falsehood. There's a whole lot of preachers and a whole lot of churches, and there's a whole lot of places that have a steeple on there and they say church, but they're not teaching the Word of God. Boy, it's really important that we have a taste for the things of God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware, watch out, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit in the public school. Oh, it doesn't say that. I just added that little bit right there. But it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. I want to tell you, God established government, but God never told government to train children. God gave that responsibility to the church and to parents. And I'm so thankful that you understand that you have a Christian school. And I want to tell you, if you know anybody that has a school-age child, you ought to pray for them. You ought to encourage them. You ought to do, and you ought to be a real supporter in prayer and help to do anything, a volunteer, any way you can help this school to make a difference in the lives of children. It should be as natural and normal, and that's why my children. You say, Brother Rice, your girl. Yeah, Joy. Yeah, Joy. And she's teaching in our church school, the one she graduated from. Yeah. She's got first and second, got about 20 students right now. Pretty busy lady. Yeah, oh boy, with those little ones. Yeah, and what about your middle daughter, Jill? Where is she? She's in Nashville, Tennessee at ACE headquarters. Her challenge, her job, is to make sure the Word of God and spiritual things are in the center of the ACE curriculum. Woo! That's a good job. I like that. And you see, what about your baby? What about Jan? Oh, she was the first student on the ABCs of ACE. Well, she graduated. She's teaching Christian school out in Eugene, Oregon right now. Yeah. I'm thankful not only for Christian schools for other children, but for my own. For my own. And for my grandchildren. And I think it's so important for us to thank God for what you have here. It's important that we have a taste and develop in our children a taste for... Have you ever been to Mexico? Who's been to Mexico here? Let's see. Honey, they all go to Mexico. I don't know when. But that, half the church, they love that tacos. By the way, in Mexico, you can't get a crispy taco. They're all soft. That's right. They're soft tacos. That's something, the American deal is they have the crispy taco, right? Okay. Well, I remember the first time I went to Mexico, and I was in Mexico, and right across from Texas is Matamoros, Mexico. And so I had a bunch of speakers with me, and we planned it for about a month or so, and I said, you know, as soon as we finish speaking, let's get some real Mexican food. I mean, not talk about real stuff. Yeah, the real Mexican food. So the meeting went long, and it was late at night, much later than we ever dreamed. So afterwards, I said, okay, guys, let's go. And the other three said, huh? They said, do you know what time it is, Rice? I said, so? They said, man, we'll never sleep on that stuff. They said, we got a busy day tomorrow, and look how late it is. I said, well, guys, we've been looking forward to this like for a month. They said, we're not going. I said, what? They said, you go ahead, but we're not going. I said, you're going to miss out. Now, when I got married, I promised my wife several things over there in Omaha when we got married. She was tough to get. I proposed to her, and she said no. And she said no for the next week, the next month, the next 6 months, 13 months before she finally agreed, and we were engaged for a while. But then she just turned 17 when I proposed, and she was not in a hurry. I was. But anyway, I promised her when we got married I wouldn't do anything dumb. And I have violated that a few times. And here I was at night in Mexico, and remember, I get off the beaten path. I'm not in the tourist area. I'm in a back alley on a little street to get a real Mexican meal. So it's dark. And I go back and find this. It's so small, there's only three tables, three little round tables. Got it? Three little tables. Okay, I'm at one. One is empty, and one has two Mexican men. And the one with the two Mexican men, one of those guys has... What do you call them? A handlebar mustache? Goes like that? Yeah. And they're sitting there. So she comes to me. And I said, uno, por favor, please. Uno, taco. Uno, enchilada. Uno, Coca-Cola. En bottle. I didn't know how to say bottle. En bottle. The reason is, I don't want to get sick. And so, you know, if I drink the water and if they have ice, though, ice is made with, yeah. So I don't, you know, and the bottle, I'm going to wipe off the top, go straight that way. All right. So I sit down and I'm waiting. Remember three tables? Okay. So I sit down and each table's got some little chips. Y'all used to that, right? You know about that. And salsa. I look at that little saucer dip stuff. I say, don't touch it, Rice. There's fire in the pot. You're hot and they're hot is different. Now you got to understand that I like what's called Emerald's Kick It Up a Notch sauce. That's my favorite. I've been to the headquarters where they make Tabasco sauce. But I don't really care so much for the taste of Tabasco. So I got what's called Cajun Chef is what I had this morning on my eggs. I put it on about anything that's nearby. And I like it. But you know what? A little bit will do me, right? A little fire. So I'm not touching it. I'm not going to do it. But there's something else. There's the chips, there's the salsa, and something I'd never seen before. Now, I grew up in Nebraska, and I love carrots. I want to tell you, I don't care if it's straight out of the garden, wash it off, eat it. I don't care if you cook it, if you steam it. I mean, I like carrots. Dice them, do whatever. I love carrots, you know, just anyway. And there were little tiny ones. You can buy them now. They're small. Yeah, and my wife doesn't because she says they cost more. She'll get the medium size. I said, all those shorts aren't that good. Those little teeny baby ones, yeah, but anyway, they're real small. Smaller than your little finger. You know what I'm talking about? Smaller than a pencil. Real small. And so I never saw them before, you know, and here's a whole bunch in that little thing. Every table had some. So I grabbed two of those. Ah! I am on fire. Now, what happened is, yeah, I took that Coca-Cola. Whoing! That Coke is gone. You say, Brother Rice, you're not going to touch the water. Listen, when you're dying, you don't care about germs. No, you don't. And down with the water. And I'm telling you, I am sweating here. All of my collar, I am saying, ha! You think there's any pity in people? The lady that worked there, those two guys at the table there, they're having a good time. Boy, you ought to be careful about laughing at other people. And they were having a good time. And you know what? I figured it out. Those carrots had been soaking for 100 years in jalapeno juice and habanero and all the other kind of peppers in there. And that's what was in there. Yeah. Well, I tell you, people can be mean. Remember that man that had this? He did this on purpose. You'll never convince me it wasn't on purpose. He took a couple of those carrots, put them in his mouth, and I'm watching. I'm waiting for him to grab for it. And he goes, and I'm waiting for him to start sweating and not. And you know what? No problem. He doesn't touch the water, nothing. He just looks at me. How could he do that? I know what was in there. How he could do that was from the time he was a child. You know, the Bible is so clear about what we're to do, about a taste. And even in Acts 5, the early church in verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Boy, that's home education, that's church school. Every day, the Word of God, and from the time that little boy was, I don't know if you call him, let's say the teenagers are the ones that I focus with, but the younger ones, I think some of them are called muchachos or muchachas, the jóvenes are the teenagers, I know that in Spanish, jóvenes, the teenagers, whoa, but the little ones, from the time they were very small, they were fed hot, spicy food. So now they're grown with what is it that they love? What is it that you and I love? It should be the Word of God. Our church. Oh, our church isn't a building. It's a nice building, but No. The church is the people and the Lord's presence and all and the family of God and the blessings of hearing the Word of God taught. By the way, we have Sunday school. Some of you didn't get here in time. You missed out. You've got to come a little earlier. Just come on at 10 o'clock. The instruction in God's Word, very important. Not only for our children, but for people like me and people like you. Let's stand together for prayer. Do you know the Lord? That's the important thing. You know, to have a taste for spiritual things, it's really hard to live the Christian life when you're not a Christian. There's a whole lot of people trying to be a good Christian when they're not saved. You haven't got the Holy Spirit's help. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. You say, Brother Rice, there's things I don't know, but I do know Jesus. And yes, I've been saved. I'm not all I want to be. I'm not all I'm going to be, but I know the Lord. And I'm counting on Him. If I were to die right now, heaven is my home because of Jesus, not because of me. He died on the cross for me, and I've trusted Him. He's my Savior. If that's true of you, would you slip your hand up high as a testimony? I know Jesus. And back down. Say, Brother Rice, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Christians are praying. Say, Brother Rice, I've been thinking about it, and I know you don't get saved again and again, and I know there's a difference between backsliding and salvation. I know that. But I'm not sure I've ever been saved. Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot. Pray for me. We won't embarrass you, just want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up and say, Brother Rice, I'm not sure I've ever been saved. Pray for me. Man, woman, boy, or girl, would you slip it up right now, just high enough I can see it? Pray for me, I'm not sure. And back down. I see your hand. I see your hand. You say, Brother Rice, I've been saved. And there have been times in my life where God was really speaking to me, and I was really serious. But man, it's hard. It's so hard in this world to love the things like you should. And I want so much more than where I am, and I'm struggling. I love the Lord, but boy, I need God's help. Would you pray for me, Brother Rice? I love the Lord. I know the Lord, but I'm having some struggles in my life. Pray for you. Would you slip your hand up if that's you? All yes, 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 yes. And back down. I wonder if some here, you say, Brother Rice, I have a son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter. I have an aunt or an uncle or a mom or dad or a grandparent. I'm not sure they're saved. I got some friends. I got a brother, sister. I got somebody that I'm not sure they really know the Lord. Oh, I want to see them saved, Brother Rice. Join me in prayer for them. Somebody like that, you say, please, remember me. I've got somebody that I'm thinking of right now that's not saved. I'd so love to see them saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand that I might see it? Dear Lord, you see the hands and you know the people that are on each of these hearts that may not be saved. Lord, I thank you that you hear and answer prayer. I thank you for the many, 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 many prayers that I've seen you answer in my life. Lord, I thank you for the times I've come to an old-fashioned altar in a church just like this. They say, there goes Rice again. But Lord, I met you at the altar and I found help, found strength, found forgiveness, found encouragement. And you heard my prayers. Lord, I know that a person can pray wherever they are. They can pray at home, pray right where they stand. But there is something about an old-fashioned altar that's special. Lord, I pray that as pastor comes, song leader comes, as I go to the altar and pray for those who have special needs here and who raise their hands that have loved ones or friends that may be lost. There, I saw two hands that said, I'm not absolutely sure I'm saved. Lord, they may come. I pray, Lord, that they might come and let pastor or any of us know that they'd like somebody to pray with them and help them to make sure today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for allowing me to be here, for my sweetheart to be here with this people. Thank you for meeting with us right now. And I pray, Lord, you give the courage for each one who needs to come to make some decision to just nail some things down, especially if they need to make absolutely sure this morning or pray for some lost friend that they would do it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, Amen.